This is March 20th, 1992. Lisa Fine, Shirley 19th. Bradley.
It's the 19th.
I thought it was the 20th.
Oh, well, one day, what the
heck. This is March 19th, 1992, and we're at the home of Mr. and Mrs. Fuller, and we're going to be talking about real memories.
Usually we just start with some background information to find out about the people and, you know, where they're from, and kind of set them into a context for us, and mostly we just want to know, you know, where you were born, and if you grew up in the Lansing area or Milken area.
Well, I was born in Eaton County in 1918.
17.
17.
Now I'm forgiven for not knowing.
There we go again.
Okay. So you were born out on a farm there.
Yes.
Yeah.
Sunfield.
Oh, we were just talking about that. Yeah. Cute, that's a nice town. Okay, and how did you get to working at the
RIA
from growing up in the farm? Did you come into Lansing to live for a while?
No, I always lived on the farm, but you know how it is when you're raising three kids, you can't make enough on 80 acres to make a go of it.
Uh-huh. Was this your parents' farm that you were still on?
No, okay. No. We bought it.
And was that this farm that you bought originally?
Yeah.
Okay.
46.
1946.
Yeah.
Yeah, we saw that. That's right. We saw the date on the barn.
Yeah.
And did you start working right away at RIA in 46, or was it a little after that?
Well, I went there during the war. I worked there probably 43, maybe. I don't remember. I think it's 1943 probably when I lived there.
Or was it?
Well, I worked there before.
Well, yeah, that's right, you were
before you moved here.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I worked there during the war.
Okay. What department did you work in? Did you start in?
Well, I left the same one I started in 26.
Oh.
Well, I said 26 and 29, that's both there together. Yeah, it was on the repair end of it.
The repair shop?
No, trucks.
Okay. Like salvage kind of thing?
No, after they come off the line, if there was something missing on them, straighten it out and put it on or whatever.
Like a finish?
Yeah.
Repair.
When I went there during the war, they were running 100 trucks every 12 hours. And there was a subcontract from Studebaker.
Huh.
They called them Studebakers, but we built them down here. But, and they shipped out 200 every 24 hours. And they went to Russia, and I'll bet they're still sitting over there, never got put together.
They went to Russia?
Yep.
Oh, my goodness.
Them young women in there, they could swing a sledgehammer and knock them arms off them rear ends and tear them apart. You just couldn't believe it.
The women in the shop, you mean?
Oh, yeah, the women, they worked in export. They're the ones that tore them down.
Oh, that's right, they had to be torn down before they could be shipped.
Torn down and boxed up.
You build them, tear them down, ship them.
Had to be all complete, and then they tore them down and boxed them and put them on flat cars, and away they went.
Hmm.
And these were women who were there because of the war.
Oh,
they needed the workers.
Yeah, they done a man's job.
Well, they must have built up their muscles.
It's just unbelievable how them young women can do that, too.
Huh. Well, they work out on farms, right? They do pretty heavy work out here, so.
I don't know where they come from, but all over, I guess.
Do you know what kind of pay they got? Did they get paid the same for men? Oh,
yeah, I'm sure they did, which wasn't much then. $1.28 an hour, I think that's what it was.
That's what you were earning, Bob?
Yeah.
$1.28 an hour.
Yeah.
I don't suppose you had cost of living and that kind of thing then.
No, you didn't have nothing.
No. Hospitalization you had?
Well, not till later. Then it was only $1.50 a month. The company paid another $1.50, which was $3 a month, and it got better Blue Cross than you got now.
It covered more?
Oh, it covered everything. You didn't have to pay nothing. Oh, but your doctor bills.
And there was a company doctor, was there, if you had a problem that they couldn't fix in first aid?
No, it was just the nurses.
Nurses there in the clinic.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But if you were hurt, say, more seriously, they would send you, I suppose,
to the hospital.
You took a lot to the hospital.
Not from there. That was over the other place. Or I worked later after real close.
Oh. Do you remember who you worked for, like your foreman?
I sure do. Floyd Nobolsky. He hired me.
Floyd
Nobolsky.
Nobolsky.
Yep.
Like maybe N-A-B-O-L?
N-E-B.
N-E-B.
O-L-S-K-I.
Yeah.
Nice Irish name.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
And he was your foreman?
Yes.
Only he was a Bullock.
Oh.
Does that go on there?
He hired, I worked for him for a good many years there, and then there was different ones. Had broke up the repair floor. I worked for different ones there. Lloyd Fultz, Gus Lair.
Oh, Gus Lair, I've heard that.
Yeah, he was a nice guy.
I've heard his name before.
He died a couple of years ago, 90 some years old. Well, Floyd Fultz is still living.
Floyd?
Fultz.
F-O-L-T-Z?
Mm-hmm. F-O-L-T-Z.
I say that because later someone's going to type all this up from what they hear on the tape, and
you don't know how to spell it. Was there a union in your shop when you were there?
Oh yeah,
there was.
Yeah. $1 a month union dues.
Did they come right out of your?
Oh yeah,
check?
Yeah.
Did you feel like you got good representation from your union? You had a lot of problems that had to be...
You know, I never had any problems because I could straighten them out myself.
Mm-hmm. You just talked to your foreman.
If I couldn't, I went on up to superintendent. I never called a steward or a committee man in my life.
Oh, is that right?
No, never did.
Were you in a kind of a management position in that department?
No.
Did you have people working under you?
No, I just worked there.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I was just wondering, because you said, we've heard this before from other people, if they had a problem, they solved it in their own department, and so that's why I'm wondering.
No, I never. I got a little ruckus one time before when I told him, I said, if you don't straighten up, I'm going to take you down to the superintendent's office. That was the end of that.
Oh, I guess you thought you were right.
I know I was right. I wouldn't have said nothing.
So after the war was over, they still had some contracts for trucks, and you continued to do
No, it was all done then until 47. I think 47 or 48, one of them years in there. Then they started getting contracts for Army trucks. Call them Eager Beaver.
Oh, I think we've heard that before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You could drive them underwater.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Over the top of the water if they hadn't sunk.
Did they produce a lot of those?
Oh, yes. 50 a day there for years.
What? That was before Korea? Or was
it was during Korea.
So some of them probably went there.
And Korea and Vietnam War.
Oh, yeah.
They built them. Well, they finished up the last contract just before the thing went busted.
Oh, did they?
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. I worked on them things for years there.
It must have been an interesting vehicle.
Well,
how were they made different from the regular truck?
Well, everything was waterproof, you see, and your axles and your motor, and you could put a snorkel on them, get the exhaust up, you could drive them out there and
like a submarine.
Yeah, clear over your head if you wanted to.
Huh.
Yeah, they used to take them up to Houghton Lake to test them.
Oh, they did?
Yeah.
Put them right in the lake?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
They were all waterproofed with some kind of...
Well, all your...
Something that was sprayed on?
No, it was just the way that all your harnesses and your generator and everything was sealed up. So your axles...
Watertight.
Yeah.
And the water wouldn't come in around the door where the driver...
Oh, yes. The water came in the door. You can sit right there and drive it, and get your feet washed at the same time.
As long as you keep your head out of water.
Yeah.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
I wonder if anybody produces anything like that anymore.
Well, I don't think so. Well, I don't say I don't think so. They seem like, well, I wouldn't say for sure either. They went down and Nash Kilvinator, I think, got a contract after that, and they built him down South Bend where the old Studebaker plant used to be.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. I'm not sure about that, but I think that's the way it was.
There's a museum in that plant now. Can't think of the name. It's a car museum.
Oh, down in the South
Bend? South Bend. Oh, and yeah. I'm drawing a big blank. I can't think what it's called right now.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it's the Auburn Cord Duesenberg Museum.
Oh, yeah, and I've always wanted to get down there, and I never got there.
Me too. I'm still hoping to get there.
Yeah.
I'm curious about why you ended up at Rio in the first place, because there are other automobile factories in town.
Well, I couldn't never stand it to stay in one place and work.
Uh-huh.
So I couldn't work.
Oh, to be like on a line in
one
spot.
Yeah, punch press or something.
Right.
It was something different every day there. Mm. There wasn't the same thing wrong with all the trucks, you know. It was always something different.
Did you have your choice of what to do when you hired in? I mean, what department to go in?
No. I was hired in to go up on the third floor in the sheet metal, and I knew Floyd Nabosky, and I walked down through there, and he says, "Where are you going?" I said, "I don't know." I'd never been in a place before in my life. Mm-hmm. He said, "You want to work for me?" "Sure, I don't care."
How'd you know him?
Oh, through my sister and brother-in-law. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've known him for a good many years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you didn't have any family that had worked at Rio? Or?
Yeah, my brother-in-law worked there. He was superintendent there in the truck plant for years.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and his name was?
Archer. Leroy Archer.
Leroy Archer.
But Floyd, after they got this last contract there, Floyd, he called me up and said, "Why don't you come down and get a job? They're going to run for a year." Got enough contract for a year, and I went there, and I was there the thing closed. So I spent 28 years and a half in there. Yeah, it was interesting work. We had a nice bunch of fellows to work with.
You thought Rio was a good employer for the most part?
Oh, yeah. Priest, and some of them old guys went in there when they were 16, they were still there yet when I was there. A lot of them worked there 40, 50 years.
Huh.
It was different back then. When you went in there, you learned what you were doing. You knew what you were doing. Some of them old people was awful hard to work with because they were set in their ways.
Uh-huh.
But they knew what they were doing.
Did they teach you, did some of the old guys teach you what to do, or somebody else trained you?
They didn't want to know. When a young guy went in there, they're afraid you're going to get their job, I guess.
Oh.
You had more or less, I hope Floyd Nabosky told me, he said, "You'll have to learn it yourself, because I ain't got time to show you."
Mm-hmm.
I never worked so hard in my life as I did until after I found out what I was doing.
That must have been a little kind of shaky and scary at first.
Well,
not knowing exactly what you were expected to do and how to do it.
No, you had to do a lot of that figuring out yourself.
Hmm. And the old fellas probably just stood around.
No, they didn't want to tell you.
Snickering, thinking, this kid, he's going to fall on his face.
Yeah, you bet.
Even during the war when they knew they needed help.
Yeah.
How long did it take you to figure things out?
Oh, after I'd been there 2-3 months, I had it pretty well. Of course, being raised on a farm, you had to figure things out for yourself, too.
Yeah, that's right.
Had to learn to fix things and make do.
Right, right. Even if it was with a piece of baling wire, you had to do it.
So you were working in the factory and then also at the farm at the same time?
Yeah. I don't know how I ever done it, but I did.
Wow. Two jobs.
I spent a lot of nights out on the tractor, 12, 1 o'clock after I come home, put in 8-10 hours in down there.
Did you have a car to drive back and forth?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah.
That saved a little
time. During the war, you had an extra gas ration, didn't you?
You were
working in defense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Tires.
Tires?
You had to get flipped for tires.
What about on the farm? Was there any kind of extra gas allowance for a tractor?
Oh, yeah.
There was.
You had an A stamp and a B stamp and a C stamp.
Mm.
Yeah, I should have saved some of that gas rationing stamp. I didn't.
how to use them.
I wish
yeah,
I had.
Yeah, they'd give you, they wouldn't give you any extra.
No, they didn't. It was 3 or 4 gallons a week or something for the non-essential people. Like,
oh, my.
I don't remember how much you got for a car. I always got enough for the tractor. I know the problem there.
So after you finished what you did on the trucks and they went through your line, then they went to export directly from your department?
Yep.
They were all set to go.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I wonder how long it took to tear down a truck.
Well, if you tore down 100 off in 12 hours, it wouldn't take long.
My goodness.
Yeah. They could knock them apart pretty fast.
Of course, every little part didn't come off.
Oh, no.
Well, no, I hope not. Once you put that, I wonder if the Russians knew how to put them together, or did we have Americans over there helping to show them?
They told me they was putting them together over on an open line, but I, outdoors, but I have my doubts they ever got them together.
Huh, so you think maybe they're still there in Korea?
I wouldn't be a bit surprised.
Or going to Pakistan.
Yeah, my brother-in-law went over to Pakistan once, but he hadn't any more than landed there, and he come back. That was too dirty for him over there.
When was that?
That was during the war.
Well, why was he going to Pakistan?
Oh, they had some of our trucks over there, and I don't know, they didn't know what to do with them or something. I just don't know what the deal was.
Was he supposed to stay, or just for a short time?
He was supposed to stay, but he didn't stay. Oh. He said, you pick up a glass, and you couldn't even see the water in it.
So he went there for the Rio and to troubleshoot, but
he didn't stay there. I was surprised when he got back to Seward. He didn't have any more land there, I don't think, and he was back.
That was it.
Yeah.
Hmm. So then they maybe sent somebody else over? Did he go over by himself?
He went by himself.
Gee, and those war-type planes, that'd take him forever to get there, forever to get home, wouldn't it?
I don't know how long it took him, I'm sure.
I mean,
it's
a 7 or 8 hour trip or something
now with
jet travel.
Yeah, no idea how long it took him.
Nobody asked you to go to Pakistan?
We had trucks scattered all over the United States. They had all these army bases. We had trucks scattered all over, and they was always wanting somebody to go out and work on them things, but I would never go.
They did?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, a lot of fellas went. I think they just went to get away from their life, maybe. Not too sure, but...
if they didn't have a farm, they could get away easier.
But I couldn't get away.
Kind of an adventure, too, going somewhere new.
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes shop work gets a little monotonous. That might have sounded like...
Yeah, they was all over up in Nebraska and all through the West. And
different
East
army bases?
And, yeah. Wherever the army base, they had some of our trucks there.
I see.
What kinds of things did you need to fix on the trucks when you inspected them or checked them over?
Well, we didn't inspect them. Inspector wrote them up and whatever they wrote up, we fixed.
You had it fixed.
Yeah.
Oh, so you were given a work order
kind of.
This needs this and this needs that.
And then after that, they had to go through an Army ordinance and they had to pass on them. That Army ordinance was a pain.
Really? Why is that?
Oh, some of them guys didn't know what they was doing. They'd write stuff up that there was nothing wrong with it. They were just that was a pain.
And then it came back to you and it didn't need fixing, then what would you do?
I'd OK it and let her go. Because I'm the boss down in their boss. Him and I were just like that. Whatever I said was right, that was right.
Who was the boss?
Oh, what was his name? Robert Thompson. He was from St. John's. Yeah, we had a bunch of characters there.
I was going to ask you, what were some of the interesting things that happened that you were personally involved with, but I think maybe...
he's got a few.
Yeah. I'd like to hear them.
About the X-Lax?
I could... I was working over there at 3A on them Army trucks. This Bill Gable I worked with, he was a kind of a nut. A girl come up through there one day and... Ever a new person hired in there, he'd get them. He had that dum-dum, that black stuff, you know. He'd dip them in sugar. Offer them.
Oh, dum-dums, candies?
No, it was stuff they put under the fenders to close up the cracks.
And it was like sticky stuff
or
something?
Yeah. Yeah. He'd make them little gumdrops look just nice, and he'd dip them in sugar.
So they look like a regular gumdrop.
Oh, yeah. Girl come up through there one day. Bill, he pulls a chair and over there. Have some candy. She took it.
Oh.
She was eating that thing. She had to go down to the office and take them away from her.
Yeah.
It looked like a black gumdrop.
Sure. Every new person hired in there, he'd have to give them, feed them one of them. Get them broke in.
And then the rest of you waited to watch the person try to eat them.
Stand back and laugh about it.
Did anybody ever pull any jokes on you when you were new in the department? Or?
Well, back when I first hired in there, them old birds, they didn't do none of that stuff.
Oh, they were serious.
Oh, yeah. Years went by, then got younger people in there.
How about the ex-wives?
Yes, I want to hear about this too, though.
A young fellow, he'd bring in two chocolate-covered donuts every morning to eat. When he'd go to for break time, when he'd go to get them, they'd be gone. He went home one night and he got a couple of plain donuts. He melted up some X-Lax and dropped them in there and let them harden.
So they were kind of like frosting.
Oh, you've seen these sugar, or not,
chocolate-coated donuts.
Yeah, well, that's what they look like.
X-Lax donut.
Oh, yeah. When he went to get them at noon or break time, they were gone.
I bet he caught a thief.
Yes, he sat over in the can all afternoon. He didn't dare to get up.
Well, that's funny.
We thought it was.
Yeah. What other funny things can you remember that tricks people pulled? Or
that Bill Gable about the egg.
Oh, we were sitting there eating dinner one day, and Mr. Lloyd Gesselman, he says, I can tell the difference between a boiled egg and one that isn't boiled. Right away, the works begin to go. I'll fix you tomorrow. So I took in an egg. He set his dinner pail down on the table. I slipped over and got his egg out and put mine in there.
Then this is a raw egg you put in?
A raw egg. It just happened that we got sent home at noon. Some reason, I don't remember what. One middle of the afternoon, he thought he'd eat that egg. So he went out and got down his dinner pail. And he backed up to the counter there and he dumped it on the back like that. He wasn't even looking. When he did look, it was on the floor.
I never found out who did it.
Probably. Oh, yes, yeah. He said, when he came in the morning, he said, Fuller, damn you.
And you said,
you can tell the difference.
Yeah, we always told him after that he could tell the difference, but he couldn't.
Things like that make the work go a little easier, don't they? And relieve the monotony. I suppose, of course, your department, you said, wasn't too monotonous because there was something different to do on each vehicle.
Yeah. Used to have a couple of pits they'd run them trucks over, and guys down the pit always had a can of grease like this and a brush in it. Somebody come up there and open the door and start leaning there, they'd get in that can of grease and off the toes of your shoes.
Ever do that to any of the, say, higher supervision?
Oh, yes, if they come along there, they'd get it too. It didn't make any difference who got it.
Can't you see the manager of the plant going along there with...
He would never notice it until he got gone and he wouldn't know where it come from anyway.
How many people worked in here, the place that you worked, your division?
Oh, gosh, we had... Well, when I was working on the military trucks over there in 3A, there were probably 30 of us in there.
Uh-huh. Doing more or less the same kind of thing. Oh,
yeah. Well, some of them was painting and some of them was fitting the hoods and the breast guards. And I was, seemed like I always got stuck on the checkout line. That was the last operation before they went out the door.
Did the Army ever have personnel they sent to the factory to look at the trucks? Or?
Oh, yeah. That's what them Army Ordnance people was.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, they were the ones.
Oh, yeah. They had to take everyone out and drive it, test drive it, and bring back and run back through again.
I remember seeing them around on the streets.
Oh, they were all over ranching there for years.
Sometimes they didn't have cabs on, and they'd be sitting out in the open air.
Yeah. Huh.
It was interesting to watch them come by.
Yeah. They were all over Lansing.
Did plant say the plant manager or the vice president or whatever, do they very often come down to your area?
You might see them walk through there once in a while. They never said nothing to us peahens.
Is that right?
No.
What about the real clubhouse? Did you, since you worked there, did you take part in any of those activities over at the clubhouse?
No, I never got them.
Well, we had a fair 1 year.
Oh, yeah, that's right. They did have a real fair 1 year.
Real fair, just 1 year.
Was that inside the building?
Well, it was out the back and in the building, too.
In the clubhouse, was it?
Yeah, yeah. I took people, I took a couple of lambs down there that the kids had, and different ones brought cattle in.
And people brought their stuff from the farm.
Yeah, whatever they had.
Like an old-fashioned country fair.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, and then he came home and he asked me if I might make some cookies to take them, because they had a baked goods booth, too. So I made a dozen of baked pinwheel cookies, or I made, sent a dozen.
Oh, I like that kind.
And that night, when we went, he got home, and we went back to the fair, I went to the booth, and my cookies were gone. I sold them, they gave them a bought. But we came home then that night. Then the next day he came home and I had won first prize and he brought me a mixer, an electric mixer, and I was tickled to death.
Oh.
I had bursitis in my right arm and
also this
time to mix something. That was wonderful.
Oh, imagine.
That was wonderful.
Mixers were brand new in the market too, weren't they?
That was a good many years ago.
And that's the only year they had?
Yeah.
Was it in the '50s?
Late 40s, maybe.
After we warmed here.
Yeah.
It was after we lived here. Sometime after 47, mm-hmm. 48.
It probably was in the 50s.
Might have been 50, I don't know.
Okay.
I should have kept a diary.
Well, the boys, how old were the boys?
Oh, I don't know.
I was 10 anyway, wasn't I?
Yeah, I would imagine. Jerry probably 5, I don't know.
That's 40 years ago.
A little fevers.
Early 50s.
We've heard so much about the clubhouse and about the memories that people have associated with it, and how, and when they come to the museum to visit, they almost all say to me, "But the clubhouse is gone. They tore it down." And it's a real heart wrench to them, like someone tore down their childhood home.
Yeah, they should have saved that because that was a good building. There's nothing wrong with that.
Did you ever take the family? Were they still having entertainments like movies and things?
No, well, I went to that movies when I was a kid.
Oh, you did? How'd you get in?
Well, my sister lived right over there on Garden Street, just the other side of Baker there. That was nice.
She worked in the...
Yeah, she worked in the cafeteria there.
She worked at the Rio in the cafeteria.
Yeah, she used to take me over there and they'd feed... I don't know. They'd take me over there and they'd feed me ice cream and all the goodies, you know. One night the old chef took me home to his place for supper.
Gee, you must have either looked hungry or been awfully nice.
Gus Adler was his name.
He was the chef at the...
Yeah, he was a chef.
Adler.
You knew about the clubhouse even before you started working there yourself.
Yeah. We used to have a radio station there, too, you know.
That's right, WREO.
Did you ever listen to it, or...?
Oh, yeah, I listened to it, and I was up in there. Somebody took me up there when I was just a kid, and
see the works and stuff?
Yeah, I see it. And the bowling alley was in there.
Now, gee, that's exciting. Now, the radio station, was that in the clubhouse, or was that across the street?
No, it was in the... It was right there on the east side of Washington there.
Okay.
It could have been in that clubhouse, too. I wouldn't say for that.
Mm-hmm. Was it just one room where they had the radio station? Mm-hmm.
WREO.
And did you get to watch somebody talking over the
microphone? I don't remember about that. I remember going
just
to
never
it.
Being
it wasn't on all the time.
Yeah.
No, I really...
Only on certain hours of day.
Yeah, and they had a nice bowling alley in there.
Yeah, was that in the basement, right?
I think so,
alley?
Yeah.
The cafeteria was in the basement.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
I think so.
Mm-hmm. When my sister first went there to work, there were 5,500 people worked there.
That's right, in the late 20s.
Yeah.
That's right.
Of course, they were building trucks, real speed wagons, and cars.
Cars then.
Yeah.
Yes, right up until 1936. How long did she work there?
Oh, probably 4 or 5 years. I don't.
Oh, I see. Not like a long career like you did.
No, see, I think she went back there and worked during the war too, up in the office somewhere for a while. I'm sure
as
she did.
As a secretary.
Yeah, something.
What was her name?
Jenny Archer.
Well, she was married to Leroy?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. We recently had lunch with a bunch of gals that used to work in the offices.
Oh, yeah.
They all meet at the Golden Gate every month.
Oh.
That must be Mrs. Pappin and...
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And Joyce
Fletcher?
They were nurses.
What? I think...
Mrs. Pappin.
No,
Mrs.
Pappin
was a
nurse.
Yeah.
She was
at the first... Yeah, we hope to get to talk to her so we can hear about the first aid, you know, that angle.
Joyce Fletcher was a nurse.
Joyce, it's very possible. I don't remember all their names. I remember some of them.
Yeah, there were a lot of them.
Mostly they were girls from the offices.
Yeah.
You know? I never knew too many of them. Yes, the one was
Fern
Place.
She worked in the right.
I knew her and Artis, but I guess that's not all the women I ever did.
Did you?
Except the one that broke the trucks down.
Yeah, well, I can remember see them knock them down, but I don't know what the other names were.
Well, I'd love to talk to some of them. That would be interesting.
I wouldn't know where you'd find any of them today.
Yeah, I suppose,
They left after the war, didn't they, Melson?
Oh, yeah.
They left after the war?
Just a short
term.
Know anybody or not? Her mind. She has a mind
that's sharp.
Oh, really?
Years
old.
Pauline,
that's
oh, that would be interesting to ask.
Yeah, maybe we'll find her.
She lives in Bangkok, A&W, one of those apartments.
Oh, I'm sorry, in
Grand Ledge.
In Grand Ledge?
Yeah, Bangkok, A&W, in one of those apartments. I can't.
Oh, those apartment complexes, those nice new buildings?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mr. Nabalski has passed away?
Yeah, he two, three
years. Well, her she's a battalion.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, you might want to call her that way. If she can tell you exactly. But she has a memory. Whether she would know any of the women that
I think so.
She probably would. Mm-hmm. She's got 75 telephone. She's legally blind. She has 75 telephone numbers.
Oh my goodness.
I can't hardly remember all of
them.
I can remember
sharp.
Telephone numbers, but not names, sometimes.
No, me neither. I knew a lot of people in the real, but I never knew what their name was. I knew them by their face and spoke to them. That was my weakness. I couldn't remember names.
And people out of your department that you didn't work with every day? I mean, that you might have just seen in passing?
Oh, yeah.
Were there any women that worked in the same department that you worked in?
No. Well, when they was knocking them trucks down, the girls was off to one side. They'd catch them trucks when they come off the line and take them in there and tear them apart.
Did any of the guys give them a hard time for doing that kind of work?
Not that I ever remember.
No, I don't.
We've just wondered if there was a barrier in the beginning when the women came into the shops. My mother worked at Rio, and she had a... Once she got in, it was okay, but she had a fight getting into the Rio. I don't mean a fight, but I mean she had to sit for several days in the personnel office before the man would hire, even give her an application. He said that he didn't need any more secretaries. She said, no, I'm here to work on the line. You know, I want to work down in the shop. I need to make money. I've got a family support. And he said... In essence, go home, lady. The woman belongs in the kitchen. Kind of attitude, you know. Because at that time, women did stay home, you know, in 1941.
They didn't start working there
until the war sort of made it okay.
A lot of men came back home and got their jobs back.
But them women used to work there on that mine, and shoot, just priest, they could do it just as good as anybody. And there were a lot of them upstairs in the cab room.
Uh-huh.
That was later work up there, wire and stuff.
And the women all went from the beginning, worked on the sewing for the...
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And some of the electrical stuff, too, I read.
Yeah. Yeah, they worked up there in the wire room.
That's right.
And I couldn't tell you what any of their names was, but no idea.
I would think that would be good, because their hands maybe might be more delicate
the
wires.
Sure, they could do it faster than a man could. They made all their own wire harnesses up there.
And women are used to sewing and just working with their hands and doing things like that, or they used to be.
Then they had a Navy department there during the war, too. they made bomb fuses in there. I was through there a couple of times, but I don't really know much about it. And it was all women in there.
Oh, is that where they were?
Yeah.
Oh. So you were there, you started in the war, and you went through 1975 when the plant closed?
Well,
1974?
Well, it didn't close there. It closed 15 years ago when it closed.
Yeah. And you were there in the same department
yeah,
the whole way?
Yeah.
Did you kind of, did you and the men you worked with sense that things were coming to an end, that the shop was going to be closed?
Well, I'll tell you a little story. If all real stockholders would have never sold out, that reel had been running today. But they sold out. God only knows how many times that thing changed hands there in 10 years. Bond the Loom had it, and there was a guy down in Indiana or Illinois that made hearses. He had it. White Motors Company had it. And, yeah. I couldn't, I can't.
And then finally Capert
had
it.
Yeah, he done it.
They thought it was wonderful when
he first came.
Well, they spent a lot of money on that place when they first started. They put new roof over the repair floor there, and everybody thought it was good to go, and all the horse, he stole it all and away he went.
Do you think that he had intentions when he first
sure
took over to
yeah
really to run it into bankruptcy or to make
yeah
it go?
No, I think he had intentions to take everything out of there he could and leave it.
You did.
I sure did. Yeah.
Bring it dry.
Yep, yeah, he did.
The fact that you mentioned about putting a roof on, I know those were very old buildings. Were they in disrepair in a lot of places?
Well, not really. They worked on them all the time.
Oh, they did.
Oh.
I know I've heard stories about the floors being weak in certain parts of the plant and things going through them. And
once in a while you have a fork truck and get somewhere where you shouldn't be, running over them old wooden floors and bounding it down.
But you never felt like it was an unsafe place?
No, never give it a thought. Never give it a thought. What
kind of changes? Did your work change while you were there?
Done the same thing all
you
the time.
Did the same thing. How about the kind of people that you worked with?
Oh,
you
know, yeah.
That changed a lot while you were there?
Oh, yeah, of course. Younger ones kept coming in, the older ones leave. There was a nice bunch of people, most of them. Well, if you get one in there, wasn't any good. He wouldn't stay long. We'd make it so miserable for him, he had to leave.
Oh, I see.
Your wife just handed me a little statue, and there's a Boy Scout on the statue, and it says, Chief Okemos Council, thanks Raymond Fuller, Diamond Reel, 1974. Tell me what this is about. How did you get this?
Well, the Boy Scouts in Lansing got a hold of an old Eager Beaver truck, that's what they call them. They brought it back there, and they wanted it rebuilt.
To give to the Boy Scouts, wasn't it?
Well, they'd already had the truck, but
they
just wanted it rebuilt. They brought it back there and sent it over there in the building across Washington Avenue on the west side of the street there, and somehow I got elected to rebuild it. And I went at it and I tore all the axles out of it and changed all the tires and transmission and everything that was on it, all but the motor. The motor was all right. And, well, I must have worked on that thing for a month. Got it all back and we painted it. And they come down and got it. And I didn't know nothing about that thing for 3-4 weeks. Somebody, I don't know if I went, somebody told me to go up in the office and get it, or somebody brought it down. I don't remember anymore. But
it's very
crazy.
How come?
They give it to me anyway.
Were they still doing the, what was the newsletter called?
The
Spirit. Were they still doing the Real Spirit, and were you still getting those newsletters right up close to the end?
I don't think so.
I could just picture him being in the picture in the paper holding this.
No, they didn't take no pictures.
Were your sons of the Scouts? Is that why you got
pictures?
Were Scouts?
No.
Not in this group?
No.
I wonder what they did with the truck.
Well,
they're going to use it for field trips or something?
I suppose, yeah.
Chief Oakham's is right over here. I mean, they have a camp, Boy Scout camp.
Do they still have that one?
Yeah.
The Boy Scout camp. Oh, I see.
It's called Shimnicon. Chief,
I've been to Shimnicon.
Chief Oakham is supposed
to be there.
He's buried,
but he is there.
Uh-huh.
I've seen his grave.
Yeah.
So that's in this district area.
I see.
Whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, I was pretty proud of that. I didn't know I was going to get it.
That must have been kind of, you must have kind of enjoyed putting that truck back together.
Oh, I did.
Do you like to work with your hands?
Worked on it there. Quite a long time. It was just like new when I got done with it. There wasn't nothing wrong with it. Put all the new tires and everything on it.
And the Rio paid for
all the
everything and donated it.
They donated everything.
The Rio did a lot of things for the community. I've heard that from other people, that they were involved in community activities, not just a factory to produce things, but also to get involved in Lansing's development.
After the war, there were several strikes, I remember, and people were out of work for a while. Were you out of work, too?
Yeah, but you know what I told the boss when I left there? I says, if you want me when this strike's over, you call me, but I'm not going to walk the picket line. And I didn't.
You mean walk on the picket line or through it?
On it,
okay.
So we was making $2.25 an hour when they went on a strike working on piecework. When I went back, we was getting $1.65. I knew that's just what would happen. I said, you guys are dumb enough to kick that piecework out, you walk the picket line, I ain't gonna.
Is that what one of the strikes was over?
Oh yeah, that's what it was all about, when you use that piecework.
Oh, and piecework, now that's a little different to production, isn't it?
Well, we worked on piecework on them trucks on repair for it.
Mm-hmm.
You get that, the Timken axles, they had to change a transmission or a transfer case. Of course, the transfer case was Timken, and the transmission was from, it could have been a Fuller transmission or Bird one, or it could have been three or four different kinds. They'd give you work orders, see, so much to, they paid so much for changing that transmission or whatever you had to do on them parts that were furnished. This Timken was in Detroit there, and they had a man up there most of the time, but when you get done at night, if you change four transmissions, if I remember right, I made up time for a long time. I think we got $12.50 for change of transmission. Mm. You'd throw them into the group, or if you change a transfer case, I forgot what that was. Whatever, anything like that you'd put in there, see, and we got the 25 or 50 trucks out, they would run 50, 25 down each lane to get them out. You could make $2.25 an hour. But if you didn't, why? If we got our trucks every day, we wouldn't use none of them work orders we had, they call them, see? And these other stuff. We'd keep them, and someday when the production was down or something, you missed three trucks, you'd add them in, so you always made your money.
Always had something to do.
Yeah.
I'm wondering what the change was between working during the war and earning a certain amount after the war, and up through the 50s, were there pay increases, things got better financially?
Well, after the war, after the war, they got better. When they were still working, when they were working piecework, during the war, they wasn't piecework, it was all day rate.
Uh-huh.
Of course, that was cost plus, you know.
Cost plus?
Yeah, government. Whatever they'd pay so much, then the government would kick in the rest of it, see?
Oh, okay.
If they paid $1 an hour, they'd put in 10%. Cost plus.
Mm.
During the war, they worked 7 days a week?
Yeah, 12
hours
a day.
12? You worked a 12-hour shift?
Oh, yeah.
And were there three shifts?
No, there couldn't have been.
No, it had to be two.
Yeah, right. But 12, but in your department, you worked 12 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Yeah.
Did you get overtime, like for Saturday and Sunday or holidays?
I
don't know, I'm just wondering if overtime is something that came along later, or...
I I don't think we did, but we could have. I don't remember.
I don't remember my mother was here about the
holidays. They were holidays too. Mm-hmm. Your sister and brother all lived in Lansing.
No.
Anyway, they would come over. He would come over to his sister's for dinner, Christmas, for Thanksgiving.
Go back to work.
Give us an hour off for noon.
Oh.
Yeah. I worked 36 hours or something down there once straight.
Oh my goodness.
Boss, during the war.
Yeah, the boss told me, says, if you stay and work, I'll give you a day off. So I stayed there. I don't remember how many hours it was. It was a long time.
A day off? You probably slept all day because you were tired.
And I got a day off.
No, I bet you came home and worked on the farm.
Oh, yeah. I was milking cows yet then, 6, 7, 8 cows twice a day.
Sheep.
Oh, gosh. You must have had to do an awful lot of extra things.
I worked on a field a little bit, but I never did milk. I didn't work on the farm. Well, I did one time, too.
Fed the cows, I guess, noon probably or something.
That was before. That's when we just had one child.
No.
Back from that over here, I used to blow spray on a tractor, you know, pick up stones. His dad and I grilled some wheat one time.
Oh my. So why did they want to change it from the piece, right? What was the reason that they
I
you don't know?
I have no idea.
Then maybe they just thought somehow they'd make more that way or something?
I guess so. Well, there was something in there that wasn't on piece work, and I guess that's what was bothering some of them.
Maybe they didn't make as much.
They didn't. One was on piece work was making more money. The ones that wasn't in the group, they made $1.50 an hour, and we was making $2.25 at once was out in the group. That piecework is a good thing.
Was it?
Yeah, so we'd get a guy in there, if he didn't want to work, we'd boot him out. Mm-hmm. Go to him, get him out in the corner. Now, you either go to work, or you're going over there and work day rate. You've got your choice. That's a good thing. Boss didn't have to do anything. The guys are working there. We wanted to make our money every day. If he didn't want to work, you'd be over there working for $1.50 an hour. Good thing.
Did you have anything, like, you had the pension plan, did you?
No.
You had the not workers down on the floor didn't have a pension plan?
No, not until later they got that. Cameron stole that.
Yeah, we've heard about that.
So when the shop closed, you were just out playing out of work?
I could home.
Did you know? We talked to somebody that said that they had no idea and they went to work that morning and the place was padlocked. Did that happen to you?
I retired the day before the door closed.
You did, Joe? You knew I was coming.
Oh, yes, I knew it was coming. I was on repair for it. I stayed till all the trucks was gone. Well, I knew exactly when I was going to leave.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was 58 years old. And that thing closed up. Well, where do you go to look for a job when you're 58 years old?
You was too young to really.
I sat around here, I guess we went to Florida maybe that winter, and then I come back with ice fishing. I come along the 1st of March, I told my boy, I said, I got to find something to do. This is driving me crazy. I can't stand this. I started out looking for a job, and along I had two jobs. Could have had. This factory over shot starting up where they make his trucks over there. Putting the application in. In the meantime, I went down to American Sunroof. Yeah, we got a job here for you. $3.50 an hour. Watchman, I thought, I'll take it. Better than nothing. I got my cologne, told her, she said, you might better draw your unemployment. I said, shut up, I got my foot in the door anyway. three months' time, I was out working in a tool crib making $7.35 an hour.
So American Sunroof?
Yeah.
That's in Lansing on the south side?
It was off in Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
Down in.
What were you making it then,
when
you quit?
About
$5.35, I believe.
So you went, in the beginning, from $1.28, was it?
Yeah.
Through all those years into 1970s?
Yeah,
and
30 years
there,
right there. Mm-hmm.
Wasn't making much. Anyway, I hit $6, I thought.
Why, if I
made
$11,000, $12,000 a year, that was, boy, I thought I was rich. That was a lot of money. that's
you could buy more with it then.
No worries.
So that was enough to keep the family, the farm, and everything going.
Got along good. Had a new car once in a while.
And three children.
Three children.
Took a trip once in a while.
Plus you put the boys through college.
Yes.
Two boys. Well, and our daughter. Our daughter's in nursing with LCC. And here's our three little sweet little granddaughters next door.
They're precious. Door. I've been looking at them.
They live right here.
So you get to see them.
I get to see them.
And I see the one up on the TV there, the little
one. That's my great granddaughter.
Oh! Great. Oh my goodness.
Let's see what you started.
Yeah, that's right.
Wonderful. Oh, they just grow up too fast.
One in Texas. Mm-hmm. That's four children.
Yes, two. Oregon has two. Oregon. And my daughter has three. And she's the one that your daughter's one that's next
door. Yeah, she's married to her husband's a nurse also. Yes, girl. They both have three. So the boys had no wish to go into the Oldsmobile. I didn't want them to. I said, the only thing I ever going to give you is an education. If you don't get it, too bad.
Well, they had their foot in the door.
They worked.
Jerry worked at Diamond Rail for just a short
one
time.
Summer there.
Oh, did he? Just
and,
before
just
they closed?
Just for a very short time. Well, he was still in college when he moved
there. He made up his mind right then. That wasn't for him.
They didn't, neither one wanted the farm?
I didn't want them to. I figured they could make a living easier than I did.
And our oldest son, I worked a couple summers in Portland at the carburetor. That wasn't for him either.
Well, that's
good. He didn't want to get his hand dirty.
Yeah, so. Thank God they did what we were in hopes they would do what they wanted to do.
You want them to have a better life, but more education would bring a better life.
So our son out from Oregon, Marchfield State.
I guess I wanted to ask you, about labor relations, and you said earlier if you had a problem you solved it yourself. Did you ever have any, were there any real problems between, say, management and labor?
They thought they were, but they wanted a lot of them people to call Stuart and the committee manager to get out of work. They weren't kidding me. They'd stand around there and argue for 2 hours.
Just to get a break?
Sure, they wouldn't fool me.
And the only strike or walkout or picket line thing was the one you talked about right after the war.
4 weeks.
Oh, that was for 4 weeks.
Yeah.
Oh, 4 weeks. And I remember that there was a, of course, this was nationwide, coal strike, steel strike, railway strike and all that. And didn't that affect you? Were you out of work then?
No.
You were out of work one time when we went to Florida, remember? Cindy was first year at LCC.
Well, that was after when the reel was down.
I know it was down.
When was that?
That was me. No, we went back to work when we came back from.
I started drawing unemployment, and then I went fishing, and then I went and got a job over at American Sunroof.
So the work was hard, but.
More
but you feel like it was well spent.
Sure. Yeah,
like it was good to be there at the Rio during those years.
Sure. I enjoyed it.
And you would have stayed on till retirement, till full retirement had they not closed.
Yeah. I didn't have long to go either. Yeah.
We've heard stories about how depressing it was for a lot of people that worked there, that some of them later in life couldn't get a job and were somewhere so depressed they even committed suicide.
There was three or four that I think there's four that I knew of. At the time I forgot now who it was.
Mm-hmm.
But when I left there or before I left, I always told them guys, I says, it ain't what you make. It counts as what you save. Then I also told them, and they said we should have went the old. I says they can go busted too. Oh no they can't. Well, they're not busted, but they're badly bent right now.
Yeah.
different at Olds? Did you know people who worked over there at the time? Was it around the same kind of a thing, or different kind of festival?
It was different. I worked in Olds full winter for a while. If I'd stayed there, they killed me.
Oh, was that?
Well, they put me in the heat and in the hammer shop, and I only weighed 145, 50 pounds, maybe 60, and heating them big old long billets, they call them, 75 millimeter shells, and get them out here on a pair of tongs, and I couldn't hardly stand up, let alone putting them in the heater, and they had six of them.
This was during the war?
Yeah, you loaded them ovens up, the time you got the sixth one loaded, the first one was ready to take out, and you'd run over and get that and give it to the guy on the upsetter, and you'd load that, and the next time the second one was ready.
And these were the 90 millimeter shells?
75.
So was it 75?
Then they built 100. What the heck was that measurement? 175, I believe. They were about yay long, about that big around.
So I was talking to somebody the other day, and they said that those big shells were used on anti-aircraft, and they even mounted some on planes toward the end of the war.
I think so, yeah.
That's a pretty big shell to mount on the wings of a plane.
Of course, they got bigger ones than that now.
Yeah. Oh, well, they got bigger planes now, too. I was really shocked when somebody said that. Oh, yeah, those big 90 millimeters went out of on a plane. They said, I don't know how the plane ever took off with those things on there, but they did.
So the work was different over there.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of thing you would have been doing.
It was hot in there, smoky. Good Lord, that wouldn't fit for anybody to work in there.
Wasn't it a bigger, in those days it was still kind of a bigger plant than
yeah.
A lot more people there.
Yeah.
We've heard a lot about the family feel at Rio.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
And that people felt loyal. And like they were part of a big family, the folks that worked there.
I think they worked where he worked.
Pardon me?
I think they did feel that way where he worked.
Yeah, we all worked together. It was a good, nice bunch of people. The boss always go up in the morning, he'd look at the time clock and see who was there. He said, I always knew who was going to be there. There was some people that drove in from the country, but the guys in town couldn't make it.
Oh, like in the winter when the roads were bad?
Yeah, when the roads were bad.
Because you guys had the work ethic maybe a little more, and you were used to getting up no matter what the weather was going out.
I missed but a very few days.
Is that right?
Yeah, very few.
That must have been quite a drive back before there was some big highway.
21 miles.
Oh, 21 miles.
Yeah, I was driving this 43 over here before it was paved. Rough and cob like it is down here.
Is that right? Well, I didn't think that's just a little spot, but to go 21 miles like that.
Of course, it was just between here and Grand Lake, and you hit the pavement there. But, yeah, that was interesting. I guess if I had my life to live over again, I'd probably do the same thing.
Were there a lot of people who had farms who worked at Rio, who tried to do both?
Well, not too many, no.
Not that many?
No.
His boss
left
on the farm,
right?
Yeah.
No, there weren't too many.
I know when I was a kid, a lot of people out around Clarksville, I think they were, a lot of them worked at the Rio, and they used to, they were farmers, and they would carpool in to Lansing, and I was always amazed that seemed so far. But now they drive, of course, roads are better, the cars are different.
Yes.
They drive now from Alma and St. Louis and who knows where, Saginaw.
We had a couple of guys there from Rio that worked, lived in Carson City, drove them every day. Hardly ever missed a day.
Is that right?
Oh, yeah.
From Carson City?
Yeah, hardly ever missed a day.
Well, tell them, how old was Andy Smith when he worked there?
Oh, I had an old neighbor up here. He went to work the Olds when he was 70 years old.
Went to work, hired in?
He hired in when he was 70 years old. The old fellow, he laughed about it. He says, I went down there and they fell in my arm and I was warm and they hired me.
Oh, that's right. He never worked at the Rio.
No, he worked at the Olds.
They rode together. I was thinking
he couldn't drive, so he used to ride with me and I'd drive his car. But he worked there for 10 years.
What did he do?
Swept.
Until he was 80.
He what?
Swept floors.
He swept floors?
Oh, they had an awful time, that old guy. He couldn't stand it, sat around and always worked hard all of his life.
Sure.
Boy, when he'd get his work done, he was doing everybody else's work, you know. He couldn't sit around. It always tickled me to death. I'll never forget it as long as I live. Every time he'd get paid for a holiday, He didn't have to, he didn't earn it. Get back to Grand Ledger. Fuller, you're going to stop in here. He said, I want to buy a drink. He'd go in, he'd get a fifth of whiskey, a bottle of mix, whoever, he always bought six paper cups. We had to get off on the side road. We had to have a drink on Andy because he laughed. He said, oh, that tickled him. He got paid for nothing, you know.
I think he would have been a nice man to know.
Oh, he
sounds like he's full of fun.
He was.
Yeah. He had to share it with other people.
Oh.
Things like that make life more interesting, make the work go better, don't they?
Yeah.
Like your jokes down on the line.
When they worked, the neighbor next door worked there too, and they'd stop and have ice cream. They didn't stop to get a drink, you know, they never stopped at the bars or anything like that. But they would stop and Quality Dairy, wasn't it?
No, that drugstore there in Grant Ledger used to make chocolate molds yet there on the corner.
Oh,
we'd only stop in
there
and get them molded. You can't go to the drugstore anymore and get one,
no.
So they don't make them.
We were just talking about that. When I was a little girl, I used to go to the drugstore and get ice cream soda and things.
Oh, that was such fun.
Yeah.
We had a soda
that
fun.
That long ago. But it doesn't,
we had an ice cream parlor here in Pollock, and they started up during the Depression.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. He made petal milk, and started making ice cream. Oh, they made the best ice cream up there. Sold for $1 a gallon.
Oh.
Yeah, go up there and get maple nut. I only had 3-4 flavors there. I forgot what they were.
Probably strawberry and vanilla.
Oh, yeah. Go in there and get a big old dish of ice cream for a dime.
Yeah.
I'm getting hungry.
Was Mullican a bigger town in those days? Or has it been smaller?
Well,
all the
time? A good many years ago it was bigger.
It was bigger.
Oh,
well,
was
yeah,
it?
There was
more stores.
Yeah.
When I was a kid, there used to be three grocery stores there, a clothing store, and a hardware store, and a theater, and
there was even a theater.
A drugstore, and
two bars, was there? One bar?
No.
Oh, I bet there was.
Yeah.
You had to have those.
That's before they ever got any
before
beer.
They had a bar.
Yeah, they had Fred bars. Wheeler on a card room there.
Card
room. Yeah.
Free shows in summer.
Oh, I hate to see the little towns disintegrate.
Oh, like a
drive-in. Something else. Yeah.
Oh. They'd put up a sheet on the side of the hall down there and show the pictures of it.
Oh, my.
They did that in Holt when I was a little girl, too.
Yeah.
You could go to the free show every Saturday.
Yeah.
Night. And that was in the 30s, and boy, that meant a lot to families because, you know, nobody had any money.
They had one here, and they had one in Sunfield. I don't know where else. Merchants all kick in a few dollars. Some Greg Kamel from Lansing.
They probably made a lot of money on ice cream those nights, right?
Yeah.
People coming down.
Well, the man that gave them in Holt owned the gas station. And it was called Save a Dollar Hunters Gas Station. So it was right on Cedar Street. So it was Save a Dollar Hunters free shows. And so I imagine that the men that had cars and had any money to buy gas would probably come there and buy their gas as a result.
Yeah.
And during the intermission, if you would get up and sing or recite a poem, you could get an ice cream cone.
Truck 1925.
Down here in Mullican?
Yep.
Oh, they bought a real fire truck.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, farmers, they went around, the banker up here went around and he got $20 off from all the farmers he could catch and then bought that fire truck.
I wonder how much that would have cost. When was this, did you say?
Back in the 30s.
In the 30s.
Yeah.
We've got an old real fire truck down at the museum. I think it's in 1940. I think it was when the last was made before the war. I wonder if they were the same chassis and everything that you use for the big trucks.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. They still got a reel or two up here to Mullican fire trucks. They got one diesel and one gas truck yet, I think.
A Rio.
Oh, are they in use at all?
Oh, yeah, sure. They got
really?
Sure, they got a fire barn up there and four trucks in it. They keep them shined up.
I'd love to see them.
They can go every once in a while when they have to. Yeah, we got a real active fire department here in Mullican. It's all volunteer, but...
Sure. That's interesting. There are real trucks on the road yet, too. Somebody that we interviewed a while back said that they still see real trucks.
They're still building them.
Well, yes, they're building them in Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
What I was thinking about are the older ones.
Oh, yeah.
Still,
oh, yeah.
Every once in a while, we'll see one. There was a real truck. But I don't know.
The ones in Pennsylvania are almost handmade.
Oh, yeah.
And I didn't know that until a volunteer at the museum went there to visit the place and did an article on it that was published.
Yeah. I was up here at the elevator one day, and the guy in there, and I was looking at the truck over, and it's been 3 or 4 years ago. But a new wheel truck, so I went in and started talking to him. I said, "Where'd you get that truck out there?" And why? He said, "I bought Dover Saginaw. I still sell them over there." And he told me they were still building down in Pennsylvania. Well, I knew that they'd sold 6 patents to that guy in Pennsylvania, but I guess that one big one's the only one he ever built.
The giant is the one he's building. Yeah, I think he isn't doing anything with the others.
No, I think that's right.
I think he wants to keep things small but running well, you know, as opposed to expanding out too far.
Look at this outfit over here, the Shabbat.
Spartan Motors?
Oh, that thing is... Them guys went over there and started in with nothing, and that thing is just... expanded, they got work. Last I knew, they had orders ahead for 9 months.
And a lot of those people are former real people.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, I could have it worked over there, but I already got to the job. I told the guy I didn't want to quit. Yeah, they're doing great guns over there. They also build chassis for motorhomes over there, too.
Oh. Oh, they do. What else do they do there? I'm not...
Just build trucks.
Build trucks?
Yeah. Yeah, big trucks.
Spartan Motors. Yes. Are they called Spartan Motors?
Yeah.
The trucks, I mean?
Called Spartan, I guess.
Oh,
I'm not really sure what they call them.
Okay.
Yeah, I know 2-3 people still working over there from the real.
Oh, really? We're going over there next week.
Yeah, we're going to go Tuesday.
So we're looking forward to that.
Yeah. I was always going to go over and go through it, but I never did.
Yeah, I'm very excited about
that.
Yeah.
Me too.
I think them over there are more or less hand-built,
yeah.
I think, and I could be wrong, but I think they are.
We've also heard from a lot of other people about the kind of pride that people had in the trucks that were built.
Oh, yeah.
They were very, you know, they were around for a long time. Oh, they're good, well-made things.
Felt like you were making a good product.
Yeah, and that the company took a lot of care in keeping them up, too.
Yeah. Another thing that hurt the real down there, they hired in a lot of these college graduates. They didn't know any more about building a truck than my granddaughter does. They had an education, but they didn't know much about building trucks.
In the supervisory positions or on the lines?
On the supervisors.
Supervisors.
Yes, up in the front office there.
Uh-huh.
They didn't know what they were doing.
So they'd come in with new ideas and
yeah.
things but that weren't really practical.
That didn't work.
They want you to change the way you did things?
They was always changing something down there. They built a golf darn truck down there long to last. I forgot what they called it. They were going to sell it to farmers. I told one of the foreman there, I said, "A farmer's smarter than that. He ain't going to buy them trucks." Tough, stupid things. Had a cab on it. Wasn't any good.
Oh. What else was wrong with them? Why else wouldn't the farmer buy one?
Well, it wasn't heavy enough. Begin with, and had a Chevrolet motor in them. If a man's going to buy a real truck, he wants a real motor in it.
This was later on, though.
Oh, yeah, that's just before they closed up.
Oh,
I understand that they're real, built some good engines.
Oh, yeah, that 6 they built there, well, the V8 was too, but that 6, they put them in all them Army trucks. You couldn't beat them.
We were told, too, I think Louis Garcia, I don't know if you knew
him. Yeah, I knew who he was. He worked in the open pressure room.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, we had talked to him, and besides being lots of fun to talk to because he's very colorful.
A lively guy.
Was talking about the engine that would run on any kind of fuel, melted butter.
The mullet fuel.
The mullet fuel engine.
Yeah,
that was an 8 cylinder, I think.
Yeah, I worked on a lot of them.
Did you?
That motor was made in Muskegon. It was a Continental motor.
Oh?
They said they'd run on anything, but they worked on... heck of a lot better on fuel oil.
And I was thinking, gosh, if the Germans had had access to that type of engine tool, the war might have gone on for a few more years because they ran out of fuel and their army couldn't move. That was one of the big things that caused them to lose. Because they were having to run on alcohol or whatever they could get. Somebody said you could always tell a German vehicle coming because you could smell it miles because of the stuff they were trying to run in the engines.
Yeah, I'd forgot about them Mola films.
Yeah, we thought that was very interesting.
I thought it was, too. See a soldier sitting there by the side of the road melting butter to...
or putting some other kind of liquid...
Right. Yeah, a little alcohol.
Right, exactly.
As long as you warmed it, I think Louis said. Whatever you put in, you had to warm it.
Yeah, well, they had a
heater. Then it would ruin.
They had a heater on them that...
they did?
Oh, yeah, press a button and they'd heat that motor up.
Oh.
Like, a lot of these diesel, well, maybe not so anymore, they used to put one on, they call it a glow plug on these diesels.
A glow plug?
Yeah. Press that button and then heat that thing up in about 5 minutes. Away you go.
Oh.
I don't know whether they do it anymore. Probably gone fixed now so you don't have to. I don't know.
Well, how did they know that they would run on anything? Did they try different things?
Well, they said they did, but I never seen it. Oh. So I don't know.
Hmm. Seems like they clog up the carburetor or something. They have a different kind of carburetor, these bars? Filters? Different kind of filters?
Oh, yeah.
If it cools, it'll clog everything up.
Yeah, I mean, of course, like he says, though, you push that button when you get back, but you'd have to wait to heat it up before you could go anywhere.
Yeah,
you couldn't jump in and take off.
A few minutes, yeah.
In a war, that probably wouldn't be a very good thing.
Oh, yeah. We never tried about anything out there with fuel oil. It's a wonder we didn't try to run them on something else, but we didn't.
Well, where was the, I suppose it was on the streets of Lansing, but the test track for the trucks?
That was on the Lansing streets.
Right on the street.
Yeah.
Did you drive one home?
Oh, yeah, I drove.
Oh, did you? Were you supposed to check it out or something?
Well, I think I got stuck down there without a ride home.
Oh, you took a truck.
And the boss said, we'll let you drive a truck home if you'll stay. So I stayed and I drove a truck home.
Oh.
I think that's what happened, probably.
Did you ever want to buy a real truck?
Well, if I had a use for one, I wouldn't have been afraid of them, not at all. They built pickups at once, too.
They did?
Yeah. If they'd had a decent cab on it, they'd sold a lot of them, too, but they...
What was the problem with the cab?
Well, they tried to put the same cab on that they did the trucks. It just looked out of place.
Too big?
Yeah, looked out of place.
Makes me think of the old REO Speedwagons, you know, the early pickups.
Yeah.
They have funny looking cabs, too.
Yeah. Oh, my brother-in-law went to the real to work. He worked for the state. He used to go over to Ionia to get the prisoners in the daytime and take them out on the road to work. And I said to him, I said, ain't you afraid them prisoners would get out of there? Because it's just a box on the back. No, but he said, I drive 60 miles an hour. They don't dare jump out.
Was it a real truck he was using?
Yeah, a speed wagon.
Oh,
one of them real speed wagons.
Mm.
No, I said, they go 60 miles an hour. They don't dare jump out. And I believe he did, too.
There used to be a big prisoner war camp at Lake Odessa.
Yeah,
and my grandpa lived in Clarksville. He had a store, but he also farmed outside of town, and they would bring in the prisoners in the morning, and the different farmers would come into town and take however many prisoners they needed to work in their fields that day. Then at night they'd bring them back in, and the big trucks from the prison camp would come in, and each farmer would bring back his five or six or however many, and they'd go. But maybe the same thing, because I always wondered, once in a while, one or two would try to escape, but that would be from the main camp itself. And I don't know how in the world you think you could ever get back to Germany from the middle of Michigan. I mean, it wouldn't be like in Europe,
where all the European countries were going to help you anyway because they were tired of being oppressed by the Germans. But here we were all happy with our government, I think. And I can't imagine trying to make your way to New York and get on a ship and...
They had a bunch of them up here to Lake Odessa working in the cannon factories, I remember.
In the what factory?
Cannon factory.
Cannon?
Yeah.
Cannon factory.
Oh, canning.
Cannon factory.
Sorry. I thought, I didn't know they made cannons over there.
Yeah. No, they used to. Now they freeze. They don't can. It's still there, but they freeze their vegetables.
I just have a couple of questions also about your background and your folks and stuff. You said your folks had a farm in Eaton County.
Yeah.
Right? That's where you grew up?
Yeah, yeah.
And did they grow up here too in Michigan or?
My dad grew up in Holland, Michigan.
Okay.
My mother was born somewhere around Sunfield.
Okay, so even from your parents, this area is their home.
I'm within 5 miles of where I was born. I never got very far away. Well, I did too. We got to Alaska once, but they come up and come back.
Oh.
And your grandparents, did they also come from around here too? Michigan, or did they come from Europe?
My granddad Fuller come from New York, but I suppose he come might have his or his folks might have come from
overseas.
Some. I have no idea.
Okay.
I have no idea.
When you get that far back, it's hard to know.
I always looked ahead. I can care less about my genealogy.
Okay. Well, that's all I need to know about that. Anything else, Shirley, for you?
No, I can't think of anything. Thank you very much for talking with us. We really, really appreciate your memories, sharing your memories.